I'm rolling. Speak.
I'm recording.
And Rona, you are live.
No new episode again. And America wants to know why. So I've come here to the home of the Blue Moon Detective Agency to speak with the players themselves. Maddie Hayes, David Addison, their friends, their colleagues, their lovers. Who are these two people? What makes them tick? And what went wrong? What about the rumors? Is there friction? Or are Time Magazine, USA Today, The National Enquirer, and Star just misinformed?
Welcome to the show, Moonlighting fans. Whether you're a Moonlighting fan from way back when, or whether you are new to Moonlighting and you want to know what all the hype is about, you have come to the right place. Hi, I'm Grace.
And I'm Shauna. And we're your hosts for the podcast that is all about Moonlighting. When we talk about Moonlighting, we're talking about the Emmy Award-winning 80s TV series starring Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. So if you're a fan of theirs, you're going to want to stay tuned as we review all 66 episodes.
We hope you enjoy this journey with us because we are going to be watching the series episodes one by one and discussing them every week. Now, this is going to take several years, as you can imagine, so please join us because we are going to have so much fun along the way. We will also be releasing bonus episodes of interviews with creators, cast, and crew to extend your listening experience.
That's right, and we really want to include our Moonlighting fans in this project as much as possible. So write to us and let us know what your thoughts are, and even if you have some trivia to disclose. Our email address is fans@moonlightingthepodcast.com, and we will include you in our future episodes.
So stay with us. Shauna and I are beyond excited to finally bring Moonlighting into the 21st century for some serious discussions. You up for it, Shauna?
I sure am.
Well, let's get started.
And welcome everyone to Moonlighting the Podcast. Today we are talking about The Straight Poop, Season 3, Episode 9. It first aired on the 6th of January 1987. It was directed by Jay Daniel. It was written by Glenn Gordon Caron. We have three guest stars, Rona Barrett, Pierce Brosnan, and Peter Bogdanovich as themselves.
That's right. Yes. Very interesting to talk about this episode, Grace. I feel a little unsure because of how, you know, I think you do too. How to approach this episode, because it's not your normal episode where you can just talk about the storyline or talk about Maddie and David. I mean, we'll of course talk about Maddie and David, but yeah, it's a clip show. It's the series only clip show couched in between, I guess. Kind of some blurred lines, Cybill and Bruce, a lot of tabloid fodder and rumors about the Moonlighting set kind of played through the Maddie and David characters, but it's really kind of about Cybill and Bruce. And trouble on the set and fighting and yeah, all sorts of things like that. So yeah, I guess we'll just go through it like we normally do and see what we come up with.
Yes, because when I was reviewing the episode, it was like, how am I going to approach this? Because it's very different to the other episodes that we review, because obviously it's a clip show, but it'll be a different type of review, I think, this episode. You're right, there's a lot of blurred lines in it. It's like, Rona Barrett's interviewing Maddie and she's been interviewing David, yet is it Bruce and Cybill because they're reacting to all the tabloids about what the hell's going on with Moonlighting? There's trouble behind the scenes. There's no episodes coming out. What the hell's going on? So this is Glenn's response.
Yes. Yeah, I think this episode was a response to a lot of things that were happening at the time. We'll get into, you know, again, in the life of the characters of Maddie and David. The last time we saw them was in It's a Wonderful Job, which is kind of fantasy, kind of parts were real, but parts weren't. Before that, Atomic Shakespeare. Before that, Big Man on Mulberry Street, where at the end, things seem quite copacetic between them. You know, they're in a good place. But now It's a Wonderful Job. We can count parts of it, I guess, as real. But now here on The Straight Poop, they're both very upset.
Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting where we find them here.
Many other programs have done clip shows that look back on the best moments of past seasons, but Moonlighting liked to do things differently. Would we have it any other way, Shauna? No.
Absolutely not. No. This is great.
Yeah. So this episode begins with gossip columnist Rona Barrett, who has arrived at the studio to ask why there is no new episode again, as was very common at the time. So Rona enters the offices of Blue Moon to get the straight poop. She finds out that Maddie and David have not been talking to one another and have locked themselves in their offices. As Rona talks with Maddie, David, Mr. Pesto, and Bert Viola, clips from previous episodes provide examples of the cast's answers to her questions. Yeah, so this episode ends with Maddie and David promising that there will be a new episode next week, and they kiss and make up. However, there's a big however, isn't there, Shauna?
They lie.
They promise a new episode next week. So a week later, there was a new episode, but it was a DePesto episode. So I don't think fans would have been very happy about that.
No, no, no. Absolutely not. And a long time since we've had kind of a normal episode because, again, big man, you know, we were getting somewhere with their relationship. And then people tune in the next week and they've got Atomic Shakespeare, which at the time I was very unhappy about. You know, I love Atomic Shakespeare these days, but back in that day when I tuned into Atomic Shakespeare, I was pretty angry. And then we have a Christmas episode, which doesn't really, you know, it's kind of a one-off on its own. And then we have the straight poop, which is kind of a blurred lines thing. And then we have a DePesto episode. Oh my God, they're asking a lot of us, you know? And we finally get into some good stuff after that. But yeah, it's just really asking people to wait a long time. And well,
as we always say, moonlighting fans are head waiters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Rona Barrett got to go on the episode because Glenn was in a queue in line at a valet after being in a restaurant.
That's what he said.
Yeah, a line of people waiting for their cars. Yeah. And in line, he saw Rona Barrett. So he had a brainwave.
Yeah.
He went up to her and said, would you like to be on Moonlighting? And of course, who would say no to being on Moonlighting? And he said, can you be at the studio tomorrow morning at 8:00? And she said, yes. And off they went. And it was a great choice to get Rona Barrett to, you know, she was tiny and she was a feisty little thing.
Yeah.
The way she pushes through those the bodyguards and, you know, but we'll get to that. But yeah, that was how she got to get on the show.
Yeah, that's kind of how Glenn set it up. So nothing about this episode is really typical. We don't get the opening song. We don't get the opening credits like we normally do right at the beginning.
That's right. Just
opens with Rona standing in front of, you know, this quiet on the set. And look, Grace, look what kind of sign it is. Moonlighting, no admittance, close set. That crew made sign that they create with that telltale writing.
So good.
Yeah.
It's in our book as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's on the first page of this episode.
Yep.
So Rona Barrett, Hollywood, California. We've also got Bert staring out of the window there at her as she kind of waits to tell everyone that there is no new episode again. And, you know, she explains that America wants answers. America wants to know why. And, yeah, Bert's kind of like, oh, staring out at her, keeps peering out. And, yeah, just kind of a funny little character.
I think he's a little scared of Rona Barrett.
Yeah, maybe he's wondering what's going on himself, you know.
It was good. I liked him peering through the window.
Yeah. She kind of makes it clear from the beginning, you know, we're here to talk to the players. Maddie Hayes, David Addison, their colleagues, their lovers, you know, what makes them tick and stuff like that. So she's kind of making it clear it is Maddie and David, okay, because a lot of the tabloid stuff was about Sybil and Bruce. But also, you know, their friends, their colleagues, their lovers. That's when we're getting into some other blurred lines. She's talking about Time Magazine, the National Enquirer, Star. See, these are all Sybil and Bruce things.
Yeah.
So from the very beginning, you know, she does make it clear it's Maddie and David, but it's all the, like, what's happening with the set based on what Time Magazine, National Enquirer, you know, all of these magazines have said, the rumors and stuff like that, USA Today.
Yeah, I love when she says, or National Enquirer and Star, just misinformed.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. They always tried to say that they were misinformed, but I don't know if they were misinformed, Grace.
I don't think they were, to be honest. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was a kernel of truth, at least, to everything, to these stories. You know, not all of them, of course, but things that were going on the set. I think they'd get a leak and I would actually like to read some of these articles today. We might get a little more insight. And then we cut to, she's in the famous Blumen Corridor, you know, explaining that this is normally where we see the elevator doors open and Maddie Hayes, you know, coming out every Tuesday night, or David limboing or ogling women in skyscrapers and stuff like that, their usual antics. And the famous Blue Moon Door, 2016, the window and all of that. The blinds are closed. yeah, this part's pretty funny when she's saying, like, tonight it sits closed, waiting to get banged.
Is that right?
Get banged?
Being slammed by Maddie Hayes and David Addison in fits of rage and spurts of passion. Tonight, it sits silent, still, waiting to get banged. Is that right? Waiting to get banged?
That's pretty funny. And then we quickly move inside, you know, where she's talking to Mr. Pesto. And yeah, all the Wobblies are sitting around. We see the bodyguards outside of David's office there. And Agnes is not talking. No, no, no.
You know what I found great about the camera work in this episode? Now, I don't know whether it was Jay's idea because he directed the episode, but it's a handheld camera. If you look at it, when you see Rona Barrett talking and walking up, you know, she's in the corridor and everything, the camera's moving a little bit. So it's a handheld camera. And obviously it has to be, because then when she opens the door, it has to follow her in.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice touch. And also later when they zoom in and make it look like she's out of, you know, Maddie's out of focus and all that sort of thing. It's like a mini documentary sort of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. And you can see shadows of boom mics and all the things that you're not normally supposed to see, right?
Mm.
Very much a feel of you're getting a behind the scenes look at everything, which you are. And one of the things I also like is when she goes and she talks to David, she tries to get him to open the door and stuff. And I do like where he's like, go away, scram, you know. And every time where she's like, David, it's Rona. And he's like, oh, sorry, Rona, I didn't know it was you. You know, they're definitely making her feel special.
They're not scared of her, are they? They love Rona.
Yeah, and they might be afraid of what she's going to write.
That's true. But poor Agnes, she goes up to ask Agnes to speak to them. And she's like, they're not here. And then she goes, oh, I can't lie to Rona Barrett. They're here. Mm-hmm. They won't talk to anybody.
Yeah, they're just behind closed doors.
What am I doing? I can't lie to Rona Barrett. They're in. But they won't see anybody. They won't talk to anybody. They won't even talk to each other.
So yeah, when Bruce opens the door, you can see more of like David Addison's office, where normally there would be a roof on it, you know, or we wouldn't see that far up, but you can see, you just get more of the soundstage feel. You just get a real behind the scenes kind of look, which is very unique. Most shows wouldn't do this, Grace. You know, very much, the whole thing is breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. But I just love the additional touch to these scenes where you've got the three bodyguards outside each door. Because wasn't it in the tabloids about Bruce having some sort of big entourage and bodyguards and all this stuff? Was that in response to that?
I don't know if it was quite yet. I think it was more when he became a movie star that he had the bigger entourage. I think I'm not, but I don't know, but maybe, you know, even, you know, them hiding behind closed doors in the offices, I was thinking like, it's usually that's Sybil and Bruce in their trailers, you know, behind closed doors in the trailers trying to get him to come out. So in this case, it's behind closed office doors. I'm sure everything has like a kernel of truth. Maybe he did have bodyguards at this point. You know, they were getting very popular.
I like this episode because Rona is representing us.
Yeah.
She's asking the questions that we would ask them. I would ask them way more, but limited for time. I like that. I like that. She's representing the viewers.
Yep. Showing up on set to get answers. We need answers. I mean, at the time, we do have to remember, and we're going to try to set the stage a little bit and remind listeners, well, of the podcast and viewers of the show who lived through it, what it was like at that time as far as tabloid fodder and all of the rumors around the moon landing set, and let new listeners and new viewers know why this episode existed at the time, because maybe it wouldn't make as much sense if you didn't live through that time. So to try to do that, to try to put us in some of that mindset, I have found some old tabloid stories. For example, the first one is November 25th, 1986, the National Enquirer. And they're on the cover of the National Enquirer, and it says, Moonlighting Wars. Jealous Sybil turns set into battleground.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's November. So, you know, that was around the filming of Atomic?
Yeah, Atomic was the 25th of November.
Okay. August 12th, 1986, they were on the cover of the National Examiner. This one's funny. Moonlighting's Sybil and Bruce. Why they are the wackiest couple in Hollywood.
So that would have been the end of season two, that one.
Okay. Let's see. This is The Globe. All right. The Globe, remember in Yours Very Deadly, The Globe is the magazine that they used when it said Moonlighting Sybil says Bruce is a pig. Post office guy is holding a magazine. Actually, this one just says that Moonlighting star was caught streaking. Bruce Willis was caught streaking somewhere.
God.
I think it was like a past story that they're trying to make more relevant. Well, I would have loved to see that. Let's see. Now, there was a write-up. Oh, no, that was May 30th, 1987. But I think it's still relevant because she was talking about this time. Okay, this one was in TV Guide, May 30th, 1987. So it's after The Straight Poop, but it's Sybil reflecting back around this time. So I think it's still relevant because, as we talked about before, Sybil and Glenn got into a big fight during the filming of Big Man on Mulberry Street. Okay. And we also know that Sybil called in sick multiple times, which Grace has more info about, right? Delaying filming, all right? Around Atomic, around Big Man, around this time. Okay. Also, Sybil at the Golden Globes that year. we forgot about this one. She said that there was a story about how she threw a chair at Glenn Caron. And she said that she did not throw a chair at Glenn Caron. If she had, she would have hit him. Oh, she would not.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah. That was part of her Golden Globe. Okay. So again, that all comes from like tabloid fodder. But she did throw a chair. She just didn't throw it at Glenn. So she threw a chair on set. In Curtis's book, he talks about hearing Sybil throw a briefcase in the office. So yeah, there was some trouble on the set. Okay. Also at the Golden Globes that year during the speech, when she says that she didn't throw the chair at Glenn, if she had, she would have hit him. That's where afterwards, after Bruce and Sybil win their awards and they're talking to the press afterward, the award ceremony, and they were asking about trouble on the set of Moonlighting because it was so in the ether. It was so like, everyone was so aware, you know, there were a lot of missed episodes and we're going to go through the timeline and see how many episodes they actually put out before we got to The Straight Poop. A lot of missing weeks, a lot of missing episodes for a series that is supposed to come back and have their fall season. I don't remember any other show missing as many episodes as Moonlighting. When they came back for the fall season, they had a show every week, you know, except for Moonlighting. And so it was talked about all the time. Lots of tabloid stories, lots of rumors, gossip. That's what it's born out of, you know, all of these things. So I will just read this one article. So this is from TV Guide. Like I said, it's from May 87, a little bit past The Straight Poop, but still refers back to this time. Okay. So this article is talking about the problems on the Moonlighting set around this time. It says, Sybil Shepherd wouldn't talk about it later other than to say, after she had awakened sweating one morning, the prospect of returning to work on the series within a few weeks had left her feeling trapped. There had been a subsequent anxiety attack. There had been a screaming match with Moonlighting's creator and executive producer, Glenn Gordon Caron, because we're both very volatile, you know, and I felt no one was listening. There had been an urge last fall to be gone from Moonlighting, to get out. There had been demands from the actress for the writers to stop churning out scripts in which there seemed to be a pointless reason in every episode for Maddie Hayes to act like a bitch. Yeah. So I think that screaming match might refer back to the Big Man upheaval.
Yeah, in the way that maybe Glenn wanted to respond to her seeing Tess. It's possible that she didn't want to respond like that. She wanted to respond in a more nicer way. But yeah, the scripts were making her out to be a bitch a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we did Big Man, Grace and I talked a lot about, you know, what was the reaction that Glenn wanted Sybil to give and what was the reaction that Sybil wanted to give? And we think that this article kind of answers that question, which is Glenn wanted her to be colder and unfriendly. And I think Sybil's point was, but why would I be unfriendly and cold to Tess, a person I don't even know, you know? Yeah, I think that article kind of sums that up for us.
Want to take Maddie and David everywhere you go and make people jealous, jealous, jealous? Wear our most popular item, the Blue Moon Investigations sweatshirt. And to help with this, Agnes has written us a rhyme. Buy us some stickers, get us some hoodies, a shirt, a tote, or any other goodies. All these items and so much more are available at our Redbubble store. Just search MoonPod 2016.
Anyway, so that's one part of this episode. Yeah, one part of where this episode comes from is all of that tabloid fodder, the gossip, the trouble on the set, the infighting, all these things we've heard about all the time. And then to top it off, there were missing episodes, which only seemed to back up all of those points and make them valid. So, all right, so let me go through the timeline of season three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Season three starts on September 23rd, 1986. The Sun Also Rises. Okay. Yeah. We have an episode the very next week, The Man Who Cried Wife, September 30th.
So far, everything's going fine.
Everything's fine. But we know everything's not fine, Grace, because when you look at The Sun Also Rises, the way that that episode is pieced together, there's so many continuity errors.
That's true.
That. They pull it off, but there are. Just look at the book. Look at the pages of continuity errors from that episode. Yeah. The Man Who Cried Wife, I think, is fine. But okay, we've got two episodes in a row. Everything seems to be starting out fine. But week three, no new episode.
No.
The next episode is season three, episode three, Symphony in Octave Flat. That's October 14th, 1986. Now, you did say before, Grace, that they had the first three episodes, they had scripts for those.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was all they had, remember?
Right. Yep.
Okay. All right. So then they had to take a week. We know they had to go dark because they didn't have a script. All right. Well, that's another problem on the set. Okay. That's mm-hmm. a separate problem. You know, Glenn was the main writer and we didn't have a script. Okay. So we skipped 2 weeks, Grace.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Symphony was on the October 14th. There was no new episode the 21st. So that's only 1 week skipped.
Because then you got Yours Very Deadly on the 28th.
And then there's Yours Very Deadly on the 28th of October, right. 86. Okay. They had an episode on the 14th and then they had an episode on the 28th. So only the 21st was skipped. We're missing an episode on the 7th of October. Then we're missing an episode on the 21st of October. So we're missing two episodes in October, Grace.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. And then we skip another week. November 4th, there is no new episode. The next new episode is All Creatures, which aired on November 11th.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, fun fact, All Creatures was filmed after Big Man on Mulberry Street, but aired before.
That's right.
Then we have a new episode with Big Man on November 18th. And then we have a new episode with Atomic on the 25th. They are on a roll. We got 3 weeks of episodes.
Except then, Atomic was the lowest rated episode. Glenn keeps saying that.
Yeah. Like what I was saying, when I tuned in, no tuner eye.
No tuner eye.
Because when I tuned in and saw them in those Shakespearean costumes, I was like, no, I can't deal with this. Sorry. We're just coming off Big Man here. I need to see something. Then we skip 2 weeks. And the next one is It's a Wonderful Job on December 16th. So yeah, we've skipped 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, 5 missing episodes. And then 2 weeks, you know, for Christmas. And then January 6th is the straight poop. So that, yeah, for a show that's into its third season, coming back after summer break, you know, fall season, which is, you know, back in that day, it's not like that now, but the fall season was like the big time, you know, where everybody got their new episodes on TV. Moonlighting's not quite, but almost every week missing an episode. So this is where we get this no new episode again, because everyone's tuning in Tuesdays at 9 waiting for that episode. And there's not a new episode again and again and again.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The Straight Poop aired on the 6th of January, 87.
Yes.
And she's complaining that there's no episode, but is she saying that her episode should be a new episode?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm thinking the 6th of January, there's no episodes before that anyway. I mean, it's Christmas beforehand. There wouldn't have been any episodes over Christmas. Okay. Yep. I just got that.
Okay. Yeah. It's just, she's kind of just referring to like all the skipped weeks before that. You know, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 missing episodes mm-hmm. since September. And here we are early January. And that was a lot for a show back then. If we're trying to explain like how this episode came about, that's why. Because 2 to 3 things, right? All the tabloid stuff, all of the fighting that we heard about and read about. Also because of all the skipped episodes. And then those things kind of like got married together. Like, well, there's no new episodes because Sybil and Bruce are fighting, or Sybil's fighting with Glenn, or, you know, there's all this turmoil on set. Nobody wants to, no one's showing up for work.
Up until this episode, there was only 8 episodes so far for season three, and that's very low. Yeah,
I know. Since September, you know, only 8 episodes, and here we are in January. Yeah, it puts this episode in a little bit more context for people. That's why we start out with Rona saying no new episodes, because how would you know that streaming on Hulu? You've always got a new episode, you know.
That's right. We're very spoiled now where we can just binge, but back then people would have been watching this thinking, yes, we agree with you, Rona. You're so right.
People wanted answers. Yeah. So that's why Rona's showing up at the set. Like you said, Grace, she's acting as the viewer, showing up saying, why aren't we getting new episodes? And what's really going on here? Is there fighting?
Yep. And she's the lucky one that actually got to go to the set and ask the questions. A lot of Moonlighting fans would have wanted to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'd love to be Rona knocking on these doors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So here we are knocking on David's door, and you know, he definitely looks like kind of forlorn and kind of exhausted and over it. But I think maybe a little bit of a sweet thing. He's like, have you talked to her yet? Sorry, Ronnie, you got to talk to her. You got to talk to her. So he's not going to talk before Maddie. He wants Maddie to give her point of view or talk to Rona first. Cause Rona's like, what, you know, you're supposed to be here fighting and sparking and making us laugh, making us cry, all the things that all these episodes have done. And he's just like, you got to talk to her. So she does.
You talk to her yet?
No, I came to see you first.
You're going to have to talk to her. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I just love how the camera follows her and she walks real fast. She walks like me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I'm short, people can't catch up to me when I'm walking. She walks really fast to get to Maddie's door. That's so funny.
Yeah, she's a little spitfire.
Pushes through the, excuse me, sisters, and she pushes them out the way.
I know, yep. Yeah, she gets right through them. I love how Maddie and David both have their, like, their protection outside their doors.
It's just a great comedic touch. I just love it.
And again, it's Maddie, you know, can I come in? And, you know, when she hears it's Rona. Oh, Rona? Rona Barrett? She opens the door. You brought a camera crew.
You brought a camera crew with you.
And this is where we get a very Moonlighting, like, in-joke spoof kind of thing. Where Maddie says, oh, hold on a second. And you hear some ripping. And she opens the door. And she's holding, like, gauze in front of her face. It's to act like that filter that Jerry Fenderman always said. That's great.
It's great because there's definitely a door wrangler there, because when she opens the door, she's got both hands on that piece of cloth. Somebody's opened the door for her. Yeah.
I've got to open the door for her. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Hi, Rona.
Hi, Rona.
And then we get the normal credits.
Yep.
And then who's talking here? Was that Curtis or was that Jay or someone behind the scenes? This is Moonlighting episode, the straight pop or the straight poop. I guess that's like someone behind the scenes.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I don't think anybody's ever been credited for that.
Okay.
Not that I know of. Not that I saw when I was doing my research.
It was probably just somebody like behind the set, you know, saying, okay, we're going to do a little test, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, checking. They're running all the words that run before a film.
Yeah, it's basically somebody in the control room saying, okay, give me a 10, give me a 9, give me an 8. Uh-huh. Everybody ready? Let's go, you know?
Yeah.
And this is Moonlighting episode, the straight pop, straight poop. We're getting away a little. Well, test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sounds pretty good. Give me a 10 if you got one up there. No 10? All right, give me an 8. Okay, 7, 6, 5, 4. We're doing fine. 3. Here we go.
Yeah, so here we are. Okay, you say, all right, Maddie, let's begin at the beginning. Okay, so now they're just starting to set up clips. But I feel, and I think, Grace, you feel about the same way, this is just about the best Sybil's ever looked in the series.
I love her hair. I love her outfit. She looks beautiful in pink.
Yeah, and just so natural. Yeah, she doesn't need all the curls. And I just love how they have her hair pinned up on top. And her hair is just, yeah, not curled or anything, just natural, you know, maybe how she kind of shows up on set, you know, before she'd go into hair and makeup. And she does have some makeup on, but love how Sybil looks in this episode. Why couldn't they have done that more often? I mean, her hair is more natural in this season going forward, but I just love how she looks here. And she wears this outfit again later in another episode. You know where? It's in the book.
Obviously, I haven't read the book, our own book. No, which episode does she wear it in?
She wears it again in I See England, I See France, I See Maddie's Netherworld when the guy dies in her office. So season 5, episode 7. Yeah, I don't believe we see this outfit again until then. So that's kind of a shame.
Okay.
But does return. Okay. So
I'm just looking up the credits for that. And that person's not credited for talking on at the start at all. So
yeah. Could have been anybody. Could have been Jay. I don't think it was Jay's voice, though.
No, it didn't sound like Jay.
Could have been like Artie. It could have been, I don't think it was Jerry Finnerman either, but could have been anyone, you know. I think it was probably someone just behind the scenes. Okay, so here's where you will shine, because you'll talk about the clips that they show. Now it's just a series of interviews, and the first one is Maddie and Rona. And Rona's like, let's start from the beginning. You know, you meet this guy. He's a little crude, a little brash. I love the Sybil kind of. I love that little like in breath she does where she kind of rolls her eyes about like meeting David. I love that. And I love, you know, they're always showing off Sybil's legs. This is another one of those skirts where it's cut up to North America. You
North
know, like
America, not South America.
Yeah, her whole thigh is sticking out, isn't it? Mm. Very sexy. Very sexy look here. She looks gorgeous. I mean, we say it so much, but she is gorgeous. Anyway, she says, how'd you first meet? And and that's what they go in and they kind of make it blurry. And I just love like the real effect. Like you say, it's kind of like a documentary style. And she says, well, it wasn't the best day of my life. Okay. And then they cut to Grace.
Yeah, they cut to the pilot when they first met, when Agnes is looking a little pale today.
My goodness, Mr. Pesto, we're looking a little pale today, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
He thinks that she is Miss March.
Here's a little fuzzy for me, but I will bet the house that you were a Miss March.
A Miss what?
That was a good introduction. I'm glad they did it because it's just a summary of what's happened so far. So it's really good to go back and look at it all at once in one snapshot.
Yeah, it's a nice revisit of the best moments of the show so far.
Hmm.
Or a good chunk of the best moments of the show so far. But also a funny kind of tongue-in-cheek in-joke way of addressing all the rumors, like we talked about, that were happening around the set at the time. So, yes, very much blurred lines.
So Rona asks, when did you realize you weren't a good fit? I knew instantly. And that's when they show a clip from Gunfight when they're in the garage and he says, who'd have guessed? I like sex too.
How about books? Let's talk about books. Me, I read left to right. How about you? Is that an amazing coincidence or what? All right, you want to get deep? Let's talk about sex. Who'd have guessed? I like sex too.
Very David Addison.
We're getting a really good introduction of David Addison. If you knew right away, well, wait a minute. Well, can you explain that? She says,
I'm optimistic.
Now, is Maddie Hayes optimistic?
Well, she also says, Rona says, you can't work together. You won't work together. Okay, that's Sybil and Bruce now.
Hmm.
You know, because Maddie and David are always working together. I guess that's not a word I would describe her as, used to describe Maddie. I don't know. What do you think? Is she optimistic?
No, I don't think so. She's not optimistic and she's not spontaneous.
No.
Except when she wants to marry somebody else.
God.
Sorry to bring that up, Shauna.
I know. I do love me some Walter. Yeah. So anyway, she says, I'm optimistic. So, and then they go into what clip?
Money Talks, Maddie Walks, when she's complaining that she hates looking for the best bargains and she hates looking in the shop window thinking someday, I hate that. And I hate this.
I hate having to balance my checkbook every week and get it right. I hate having to stop and think every time I use my credit card. I hate shopping for the best bargains. And I hate seeing something I like in a store window and having to think Sunday instead of that. I hate that. I hate this.
It's tough all over, kid.
Not all over, kid.
What upsets you so much? I was actually thinking about this last night. He embarrasses me. He delights in embarrassing me. Is that a true description of David?
Well, some scenes have been like that. I mean, the first cut they show is knowing her when she's had to change the tire in the rain and he says it's a whole new you. And yeah. Also in the pilot when he's looking up her dress.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yes.
The other two aren't really embarrassing her, but yeah, it's got murder really. When the train is moving. She opens the curtain and that's my thing. And then murder's in the mail with a pie in the face and he laughs at her. But then he gets a pie in the face anyway. So
yeah,
maybe the first two, I would agree that he does embarrass her in those two.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I agree. The second two clips don't really, that's not embarrassing her. And he takes a pie to the face as well.
Mm.
And, you know, if we're going to talk about blurred lines, we know that they asked for it, you know, because in their interview with Good Morning America at that time, they talk about how they asked to have the pie in the face. And that was very satisfying. They really enjoyed it. That's when we go back to this headline story about why they are the wackiest couple in Hollywood. Okay. Then Rona says, so it's difficult. And she says that's putting it mildly.
Because he has no sense of professionalism, no sense of decorum. And appropriately, they show the next murder you hear when he's hanging on her door and he's totally plastered. Oh, my God, they dropped the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
Yes.
And then in gunfight with the x-ray specs.
Where on earth did you get those glasses?
Oh, these? X-ray specs. Pretty cool, huh? You must be wearing a lead dress. I can't see a thing.
And then in witness, when he comes out with his boxes with the red hearts.
Whoa. You saying you already made your mind up? Like them? How's he going to get a pair with pockets?
These are good examples.
These are good examples. And then My Fair David. When she says, you know, a couple of weeks acting like an adult, blah, blah, and he's walking behind her doing funny gestures.
Mark my words, maturity is its own reward. A couple of days of acting like an adult? You wonder why you didn't do it sooner.
I already am.
While the wobblies are laughing their heads off in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the limbo rock.
The limbo, that's the coup de grace right there. That's everything she can't say about him.
Hiya, boss. Back from the dentist so soon?
Yeah, so they were good choices. Those clips were good choices for that.
Those clips showcase what she was saying.
Are you someone who wants to know everything about everything? Are you constantly searching on your phone while you watch TV to find out more? Moonlighting, an episode guide, gives you the inside scoop on each episode and goes into detail about everything Moonlighting. Would you like to know more about the actors, cultural references, music, and more? This guide will be a constant companion while you're sitting down watching Moonlighting.
I need to make sure I get their book.
How many door slams were there? Well, you have to buy the book to find out.
I'll have to make sure I get it.
Even Sybil herself can't wait to get a copy.
I can't wait to read it.
Go to tuckerdspress.com or amazon.com to get your copy of Moonlighting, an episode guide.
I can't wait to get it.
All right. Rona goes on to say, so you've given it your best shot. She's like, absolutely, positively. It's not her problem.
Actually, before that.
Mm-hmm.
Rona says, have you talked about it?
Mm.
I'm not sure what she replies there, but then they show My Fair David when Bruce says in Agata DeVita and he's wearing the lei around his neck and they're talking about the bet. And then Rona says, so you've really given this your best shot? And she says, absolutely, positively. And they show the clip from Brother, Can You Spare a Blonde when Richie and David are fighting and she says, stop it.
Yeah, because she says, I'm not the only one he doesn't get along with. So to her point, you know, he doesn't get along with his brother all the time.
You're a dead man.
Beg to differ with you, bro.
What do you think about, like, Maddie crying during this episode? She's crying here saying, you know, I feel really bad about this. We've let everyone down. I don't see Maddie as much of a crier. Is it more Sybil? Sybil's more emotional, right?
I don't know. I think Maddie would feel pretty bad about not getting episodes out.
Mm-hmm.
I could be a bit of Sybil as well. She says she feels terrible. Maybe I was born in the wrong time.
Yeah, it's a good
segue.
Good segue for
the great kiss outside in the dream sequence. And then when she sings, I told you I love you.
Yeah, so I thought this whole clip went on a bit long for a clip show, but I'm sure people enjoyed seeing it.
Well, the problem is if you're going to show Sybil singing, you're not going to cut that short.
No. They show them sitting in bed. I'm from little town Palookaville. Then the kiss, then her singing. So that's fine. It's a great clip and it's a great episode. So I get why. And I think that takes us to the first commercial break. And then we come back to Pierce Brosnan and he's talking about Maddie Hayes. So we're like blurring the lines again.
Yeah.
Because where's Pierce Brosnan from, Grace?
That's just Glenn being hilarious, I think.
Yes.
Remington Steele. He would have said, oh, Pierce, you want to come on as a favor? And he would have said, yeah. How much are you paying me for 3 seconds?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So for those who don't know, Glenn wrote for Remington Steele before Moonlighting. And so what Pierce is saying here, she's a hell of a woman. And like, we almost went into business together. So I think, yeah, is any kind of like saying Glenn wrote on one show and then he moved over to Moonlighting and hey, it all could have been me and Maddie, you know, if it wasn't David, if I wasn't employed on this show. And they didn't cast Bruce, kind of saying like, we could have been on a show together.
That would have been great. He said, well, my life went into a different direction.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Oh, yes, Maddie Hayes, hell of a woman. You realize we actually talked seriously about going into business together at one time, but it didn't work out. I went in another direction.
Man, we've been tippy-toeing around the situation.
Mm.
Big question we all want. We all want asked.
The root of your problem is sex.
Sex?
I just love Maddie's reaction when she scrunches her face up. I'm sorry, sex?
Is that the question?
All right. I've been tippy-toeing around this situation. You've been tippy-toeing around this situation. Let me ask you the question. Sex. I'm sorry? Sex. I'm sorry, sex? Is that the question? Yes. Sex.
And I'm sorry, but this is not Sybil, because we know we've seen Sybil.
Oh, absolutely. She would have reacted absolutely the opposite to that.
Oh, yeah. She would have been like, absolutely, sex. You know? I knew it was going to happen from the day I met him. You know? That is not a good Sybil impression. I don't mean to.
This is funny.
Yes, we've seen Sybil in action in some different videos, and it's such a role reversal. It's so funny. Definitely a Maddie reaction.
Yeah, because then appropriately, they show a scene from the next murder you hear, the famous boinking scene when she throws him out of the car. Repressed or obsessed or one of those S words.
Because you can't, because there is no one, because you're repressed or obsessed or one of those S words. That's why you're not going to take this case, this great case.
Yeah, that's absolutely perfect scene to play. The root of your problem is sex. Yeah, is that the root of their problem, Grace?
I wouldn't probably say. I don't know.
Not root of the problem, really, but that's the underlying.
It's underlying, yes, definitely.
Okay, yes, the boinking scene was perfect for that. And then Rona just kind of lays it out there. I think underneath it all, you two kids are crazy about each other. Aw, then we get the kiss in the garage, which is wonderful.
Yeah, you get the famous garage scene and witness for the execution. She goes,
David and I together? I don't know.
If I could get you in a room together, would you at least talk?
For you, Rona? Yeah, I guess. For you, Rona.
So cute. I just love Sybil here. She's just a doll. I just think she looks so.
She actually looks like a Barbie doll in this episode. She looks really cute. I love her hair.
Oh, my God.
I love everything.
Love her hair. Love the clothes. Love the little dimple.
Yeah.
She looks great. Do you reckon?
Reckon?
She's pregnant? Yet or no, this is about a week off because by the end of this month, she's pregnant at the award show. We do know that,
yeah. So, this aired on the 6th of January, the Golden Globes were on the 31st of January, 87. Yeah, she probably was.
Maybe like a week, she might have been a couple weeks pregnant at the award show, so she may not like this, maybe just before she got pregnant.
Yeah, I think it's just before.
Is that funny?
Yeah, I don't think she could have been yet because the twins weren't born till October. So that's...
Yeah.
I think it was more towards the end of January.
I think she's
just about to have some fun, Shauna.
Yeah. Maybe they gave her a rest with this episode and she went home and had some fun and all hell broke loose. It's funny that we can almost pinpoint the time, you know.
I know. Isn't that funny? Oh.
Yeah. Like, yeah, maybe this is the week she either got pregnant or it's the week right before she got pregnant, because we know by the time she's at the award show at the end of the month, she's pregnant. She said that. So very interesting. Life's about to change.
Life is about to change for everybody.
It's like when Bruce looks at A Trip to the Moon and he says, this is set just before Die Hard. You know, this with Sybil is set just before, yep, pregnant twins and all the things that happen. Pretty cool. We just know too much, don't we?
So Rona goes to talk to Mr. Pesto. She says, talk to me. What's it like, Agnes? Of course, Agnes, very honest. Oh, it's really, really hard.
Well, Rona, it's hard. It's really hard. I mean, they come in here, they slam the doors.
And then you see snippets of them slamming doors. So the first one was gunfight when she's screaming at him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Read the Mind, when she kicks him in the leg, the lady in the iron mask. And then in Knowing Her, when she says, a gnat with a lobotomy could fool you. And then in God We Strongly Suspect, but I didn't write down what the scene was. Whoopsies.
Oh, it's he's giving you beauty. He's giving you brains. Right. He's giving you me when she falls down into the corner.
She falls on the ground, yeah.
Yes.
And then Agnes says.
Sometimes they yell at the same time.
And then they show that fabulous scene in Symphony.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is great. I love that scene.
It's not Symphony. It's The Man Who Cried Wife.
Oh, is it?
And then Symphony. First, it's Man Who Cried Wife, and then Symphony. So there's.
Oh,
they're kind
I've
of
missed
like,
it. Oh, I've missed it, have I? Oh, okay.
Well, they're two scenes that are very. Yeah,
they're very similar.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that at all.
Also, why am I living this life? Oh, that's Brother, Can You Spare a Blonde? Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what that one was.
Yes, that's the one like, oh, Tara ain't on the block yet. When they want to take her house.
Rona asks Agnes if she's ever fought with either one of them.
Well, I fought with Mr. Addison once.
And they show the clip from Brother, Can You Spare a Blonde after he's come out of having a toilet bath. And she yells at him for being rude to her.
No cute apologies. I don't want a cute apology. You were mean to me, Mr. Addison, for no good reason other than that you were in a bad mood. And that stinks. Lots of times I'm in a bad mood. Lots of times. But I'm not mean to you. You think because you make more money than I do that you could just be mean to me?
No,
that's all.
Yeah.
But before that, Grace, she says, I'm kind of the glue that holds it all together, which is true.
It is very true.
She's the glue, and she's very much protective of both of them.
Sometimes I think I make Miss Hayes upset.
And then they show that man belongs in a pound. And Agnes says, a pound of what? From Somewhere Under the Rainbow?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Miss Hayes.
That man belongs in a pound.
Pound of what?
And then they show Money Talks when Agnes and David are having a chat in his office, and he says, remember how great it was before What's-Her-Name came along?
You remember how great things were before What's-Her-Name showed up?
Miss Hayes?
I mean, was this a great job or what?
It was.
Good people, good times, a great gig. No deadlines, no arguments, no pressure.
No cases, but it was great.
You know me, I love Maddie and Agnes scenes when Agnes says, according to Donahue, and then she talks about Mr. Sandwich, how he's asked her out on a date, not only sandwiches, hot food.
Yeah, next up.
You know the man who comes by to sell sandwiches in the morning?
Mr. Sandwich?
His name is Neil. He asked me to have dinner with him. Not just sandwiches either. Hot food.
Hot food?
I love that scene.
I know. Very cute. And yeah, Maddie's very sweet to her there. See? Maddie is sweet. And then Rona says, so why do you think they're fighting? And she's like, are they going to see this? Sure, they might. Which is funny because they might watch it on TV. The characters, Sybil, Bruce, blurred lines. And then she's like, I'm sorry, I can't answer that. Okay, and then she's done with Mr. Pesto, and now she goes over to Mr. Viola.
But she calls him Mr. Viola.
Oh, Viola. Isn't that what Agnes's mom calls him? Mr. Viola? Oh, no.
Yeah, I think from memory she calls him Viola and Mr. Violin and stuff like that.
Mr. Viola is the newest member of the family. What do you think's going on here?
Now, first of all, Curtis doesn't get a big gig in this episode. That's all he says. This is the only scene he has. It goes for like 15 seconds if you're lucky.
Yeah.
He goes, well.
Mr. Viola is the newest member of the family. What do you think's going on here?
Well, candidly, it's a little strange. But then this whole place is a little strange.
And that's it. No response. Nothing from Rona. Yeah. We go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But they show clips. The first one is from Funeral for a Doornail when she goes, yes, she is. No, he's not. Yes, she is. No, he's not. The Murders in the Mail, the famous Dr. Seuss scene.
Yeah.
We're looking for a man with a mole on his nose.
Mole on his nose?
A mole on his nose.
What kind of clothes?
What kind of clothes?
What kind of clothes do you suppose?
What kind of clothes do I suppose would be worn by a man with a mole on his nose? Who knows?
Did I happen to mention, did I bother to disclose this man that we're seeking with a mole on his nose? I'm not sure of his clothes or anything else, except he's Chinese. A big clue by itself.
How do you do that?
I've got to read a lot of Dr. Seuss.
I'm sorry to say, I'm sad to report, I haven't seen anyone at all of that sort. Not a man who's Chinese with a mole on his nose with some kind of clothes that you can't suppose. So, get away from this door and get out of this place, or I'll have to hurt you. Put my foot in your face.
Oh.
Time to go.
Time to go.
Yes.
Portrait of Maddie. He walks in as the lawyer and says, oh, no, tell that to the writers.
Let's just hold it right there, shall we? My client isn't answering any more of your questions.
You just can't burst in here like that.
Oh, no? Tell that to the writers.
And then the altitude of her caboose and flying fig in what we strongly suspect.
And understand this. I don't give a flying fig about the lines in my face, the crow's feet by my eyes, or the altitude of my caboose.
Hey, that's okay. That's what you got me for.
And I don't give a flying fig about people who do.
Well, I'm at a loss. I don't know what a flying fig is.
That's okay. They do.
Great clips. All great clips. And yeah, this place is a little strange, so.
That is a little strange.
That showcases it well, don't you think?
It does. They were good clips to choose from. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, those are some of the best clips. I mean, that Dr. Seuss clip is definitely, people always mention that. People who are coming back to the show, they write and ask us like on Instagram, you know, what show had the Dr. Seuss clip? That's one that always sticks in people's minds.
Yet the network was saying to Glenn, what are you doing? You can't say that. And he's like, didn't you think it's funny? I think it's hilarious. Yeah,
it is. It's great. And the network told Glenn not to do a lot of things that Glenn didn't listen to, thank God.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that it's the sound of Glenn's voice that says, Rona, you are live.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you, Glenn, for sticking to your guns. Thank you for listening to The Straight Poop Part 1. Stay tuned next week for Part 2.
Well, until next time.
I'm Grace.
And I'm Shauna.
Thank you for listening to Moonlighting the Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.